Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Tzadi Gimel. We're in the middle of the sugya of Holchid B'Mamon Achar Rov or Ein Holchid B'Mamon Achar Rov. We had a machlokas yesterday, Rav and Shmuel. The case was as follows. The case was a guy sells a shor to his friend, and it turns out that the shor is a naghan. This animal is crazy. It gores everything in sight. And he's therefore unable to use the shor to work his field, because the shor just keeps going wild. So the buyer, the lokeach, says to the mocher that it's a mekach tos. You sold me a wild shor. The mocher says, whoever told you I sold you a shor to work? I sold you a shor to go shechted and eat the meat. So the Gemara had said that what's the case over here? The case must be that the assumption must be that most of the time a person sells a shor, it's to work with. It's not to go and shecht. So if we're going to follow the rove, the lokeach has a taina. Right, its taina is that I assume that you sold it to me what a shor is normally sold for. So says the Gemara that Rav says mekach taos basa ruba azlinan veruba larad yazavni. That Rav says it is a mekach taos because we can follow the rove. You follow the rove that most of the time a shor is sold to work and it's not sold for shchita. And Shmuel says no, we only go basa rove by iser, by mamon we don't go basa rove. B'mamon alav, we don't follow rov. Ein holchin b'mamon achar rov. Right, we don't follow majorities when it comes to mamon, and therefore, what do we follow? What's going to be our rule? Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. The mocher is going to say, look, you paid me for the shor already. I have the money, and I, as far as I'm concerned, I sold it to you for shchita. I only a miut are sold for shchita. Miut rov doesn't make a difference. We don't follow rov by mamon, and therefore the mocher gets to hold on to the money. The mocher is the one that wins the case. That's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Now, we started yesterday, and for much of today's daf, we're going to be bringing Raios, who's right. Right, Raios from Tanaim, whether Rav is correct or Shmuel is correct. So we brought one Raya yesterday from an Isha Shana Salman and Skarsha, whether she was a Basula or an Almana. It was unclear whether at the time she got married she was a Basula or an Almana, and therefore we don't know how much money she's owed for Ksuba. That was one discussion we had yesterday. Now we're holding four lines from the bottom of the page, the last one in line, Tashema, we're going to bring a second Raya. Before we even get into it, though, just a very brief discussion. There's a famous Chiddush of Reb Chaim Salvechik in the Chidushim al Hashas, not in the Chidushim on the Rambam, in the stencils, al Hashas, quotes on Mesechus Babakamad of Chavzayin, points out that Tosos Babakamad of Chavzayin asks the following question. He says, Eich Mahani Rov Dayanim Bimamon, Ha'in Holchim Mamon Acharov. What if you have a Beis Din? Well, you have a Beis Din of three Dayanim, and Reuven sues Shimon for $1,000, and two of the Dayanim vote that Reuven is owed the money, and one Dayan votes that he's not owed the money. So what do? We follow the majority. The two Dayanim who say he is owed the money, they win, and therefore we follow whatever their opinion is. Frek Tosfos, in Holchin B'mamon Achar Rov, isn't this a Dina Mamonis case? How can you follow the majority in a Dina Mamonis case? It's Mamash Rov for Dina Mamonis. How can you follow the majority? So says Tosfos Mabakama, Shiny Ruba de Dayanim, the chash of miyutitu kamisha eno, that when you have a rov dayanim, it's different. We view the miyut of the dayanim as if they don't exist. What does that mean? We view the miyut as if they don't exist. Why do we view the miyut as if it doesn't exist? Why by dayanim should it be different than any other rov? So Reb Chaim has a yesod. Reb Chaim says that you have to understand the term rov is used in two different contexts. It could mean two completely different things. Number one, rov is shu mevarer machrias hasafek, that we're not sure what the rule is. So the rov is mevarer machria, the suffix, the rov tells us what we should follow. Meaning there's a 90% chance one way, 10% chance the other way. The rov tells us, follow the 90% chance. But that's one type of rov. A second type of rov, he says, is b'midi de lo shayich klal suffix. You have a rov, for instance, by something where there's no suffix at all. Let's say I shecht an animal. So I want to shecht both simanim of the animal, both of the pipes I'm supposed to shecht in the animal's neck. I want to shecht, right? And I shecht rov simanim. I shecht 60% of the windpipe, let's say, of the animal, right? So is that considered a kasher shchita or is that a pasul shchita? So the halacha is, it's a kasher shchita. Why? Because rubo kikulo. So what? You're going to say it's a suffix, whether it's we follow the 60% or the 40% and rubo kikulo. No, rubo kikulo means not that there's a suffix and rov tells us how to behave in a case of suffix. Rubo kukula means sometimes when you have the majority of something, it's ki'ilu, you did the whole thing. There's no, it's not even shaykh to a safik. He says, b'mididol shaykh klal safik. Kigon b'shchita simanim, dekaimelon rubo kukulo. Or for instance, tarovis lach b'lach. A little drop of milk falls into a giant pot of chicken soup. So the batel beruba, it's batel berov. It's not a suffix. I know exactly how much milk fell in. I know that there's milk in there. I know that there's chicken soup in there. I know everything. Right? There's nothing. There's no information that I'm missing. So it's not an issue of suffix. It's just rubo kuklulo. We follow the rove. So says Reb Chaim, that's the idea of dayanim. When we say that by dayanim by Sanhedrin that you follow the rove. It's not a din that we're mesupak and therefore we follow the majority against the minority. No, it's a din in rubo kikulo. Achrei Rabim Lahatos teaches us a din that rov hadayanim are like kol hadayanim. So it's ki'ilu, it's nechtach hadin al pi kol hasanedrim, kol habezin. It says it, meaning you need three dayanim for din imamanis. Well, if you have only two dayanim telling you one way and one dayan telling you the other way, isn't it by definition that you don't have three dayanim telling you what the halach is? But no, rubo kikulo tells you that it's ki'ilu, the entire Beis Din is one unit, the one is batel lagabe the other two, and as a unit, they're giving you the psak halacha. That's the din, that's why it's not a violation of ein holchin b'mamon achar rov when you have dayanim. And Reb Chaim says, based on that, at least it's printed in the stencils in Reb Chaim, that based on that they can answer Rav Naftali Trupp's kasha. Rav Naftali Trupp asked, based on the Mordechai in the first parak of Chulin, asks, why do we follow Rov b'Sanhedrin? After all, we have a rule, kol kavua k'mechtzal mechtzadami, that anytime something is kavua, it's stationary, it's sitting in one place, we view it as a 50-50. We don't view it by the majority. Right, that's the rule, kol kavod, meaning what's the application of that halacha? If we know if there are 10 stores, 9 are selling basar shkuta, 1 is selling basar trefa, and I find a piece of meat out on the street in front of those stores, so I follow the majority. Majority are selling basar shkuta, it's kosher. What if I bought meat from one of those stores, but I was totally in space? I have no idea which store I went into. I went into one of the stores and just bought a piece of meat. I have no clue which store it was, though. And that's my suffix. Which store did I go into? So then we say, kol kavua k'mechzal mechzadami, since I got it from its place, it wasn't out of place, it was stationary in its place. When I got it, we view it as if it's a 50-50 suffix. That's the rule of kol kavua k'mechzal mechzadami. So Frek, the Mordechai, why don't you say the same thing by Sanhedrin? By Sanhedrin, you're going to follow the rove. Why do you follow the rove? You say they're kavua, and it should always be considered a 50-50, no matter what the vote is on the Sanhedrin. Says Reb Chaim, no, it works out very beautifully now. According to this Yesod, no, kol kavok mechzal mechzadami is by a rove that deals with the suffix, where you're not sure what to do. Our rove of Sanhedrin doesn't deal with the suffix. It's a din in of bittel barov. It's not a din of going basarov. It's a din of bittel barov. So when it comes to a din of bittel barov, so it's not shaykh to say kol kavua. That's the famous piece of Chaim. But the Gemara now is just going to go weiter and try to figure out if we can prove one way or the other in this machlokas Rav and Shmuel whether holchin b'mamon acharov or ein holchin b'mamon acharov. Says the Gemara, four lines from the bottom, Tashema, hamoch rev l'chaver v'nim saganov of kuvyustos, a person sells an eved to his friend. And the eved turns out to be a ganov, or he turns out to be a kuvyustos. So we're pretty sure we know what a ganov is, but what's a kuvyustos? Says Rashbam, goniv nefashos, a kidnapper. Meaning this Eved is the worst kind of criminal. I sell you an Eved, I tell you, yeah, he's strong, he can work really well, but it turns out he's the worst kind of criminal. He'll still rob you clean of everything you have. He'll steal your children. He's a horrible person, right? So is it a mekach tos or is it not a mekach tos? So says the Gemara, if higiyo, it's not a mekach tos, you bought it, you keep it. Now, everyone agrees Kavyustos is a kidnapper. Now, the Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines that, yeah, most of the, most Avadim are Kavyustos. So, Frektosos, really? Most Avadim are kidnappers? Kidnappers? Ganavim is one thing. But kidnappers, that's a pretty specialized field, no? That, you can say most of them are kidnappers? He says, it can't be that Kavyustos means a kidnapper. That sounds very, highly unusual. So says Tosfos, Pirish Rashi, B'kol Makom, Goniv Nefashos. Wherever you have the word Kavyustos, Rashi and his grandson, the Rashbam, after him, always say that it means a Goniv Nefashos, it means a kidnapper. He says, V'hachal lo mashmahachi, demasik tukulu hachi isnuhu. Atu kulu gonve nefashos ninu? Over here, it certainly doesn't seem that way, because over here, the Gemara is about to say, yeah, all avadim are like this. But all of them are kidnappers? That sounds very unusual. Furthermore, Tosa says, one might have thought that the Gemara in the beginning of Becharos also implies that Kuvyustos does not mean kidnapper. Why? Because Umi and Parakamah de Becharos ain't lahakshay. So don't bring me a raya that I'm right and Rashi's wrong from the first parak of Becharos. Why? What does it say over there? Ein lahakshay zepirush darminun gabe shkolim in regards to the machzis hashekel, right? The mitzvah of the shkolim. Shaul kuntarkus as Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Moshe Rabchem ganav haya o Kuvyustos haya. Right? Someone challenged Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, was he a ganav, a kuvyustus, or an eino baki b'cheshbonos? Meaning, what was the point? He was accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of doing an unfair cheshbon with the machzis shekel, that he was taking more money than, not doing a fair accounting of all the money that was coming in. So he said he's either a ganav, or he doesn't know how to count, or he's a kuvyustus. So ganav we get, he's dealing with money. Doesn't know how to count we get, he's bad accounting, dealing with money. Well, what does kuvyustos have to do with anything? If kuvyustos means konev nefashos, it means a kidnapper, what's it got to do with anything? So he says, that's not really such a problem. The shkalim represent each Jew. So when you steal a shekel, it's like you're stealing that Jew. Meaning that's what he meant, kuvyustos, not in a literal sense, but a kuvyustos in that if the shekel represents the person and you're taking the shekel, it's ki'ilu, you're going into the nefesh. But either way, Tosfos says, I think Rashi's wrong, meaning you may not have a raya from the Gemara Becharos, but our Gemara is a good enough raya that Rashi is wrong, that kuvyustos cannot mean going into nefeshos. What does it mean? Says Tosfos in Nir Kapir Shrach, the mefarish kuvyustos mesachik b'kuvya. Kuvyustos, where does the word come from? It's kuvya. It's mesachik b'kuvya. It's referring to a gambler. Meaning a gambler, someone who's, and that explains the Gemara Bukhara certainly very well, someone who doesn't deal well with money, a person doesn't appreciate the value of money, so it comes, it goes, and he's not really that careful with it. So that makes sense, that the accusation of Moshe Rabbeinu being kuvyustos. And also fits our Gemara a little better, much more likely that most of the Avadim are gamblers than it is that most of the Avadim are kidnappers. So anyway, that's the pshat of Tosfos. But says the Gemara, what's the raya from here? The case again is, a person sells an eved and turns out that the eved is a ganav or a kuvyustos. So higio, it's a valid sale, you can't say mekach tos. List the mezuyon amuktav lemalchus, but what if the eved is not only a robber, but he's an armed bandit, or he's muktav lemalchus. He's someone who's wanted by the king. He's supposed to be killed. His face is in the post office. They want to kill him. The king wants to sentence him to death. Omer lo hareshel chalufanecha. So then he can say that hareshel chalufanecha, that here you take him. So Resha my time. Well, what's the case of the Resha? Why in the Resha do we see that it's not a mekach ta'us? Because lav mishum deruba hachi yisnu, isn't the assumption that it's a rove and that the majority of people of avadim are ganavim and kuvyustusin, and therefore he was kona. The lokeach knew at the time that he was buying it that the majority of them are like this, and therefore when he bought it, it's as if he was mekabel that it's okay. That yes, I'm buying him afal pikein. I'm buying him even though he's a ganav, even though he's a kuvyustus. Says Rashbam in the last wide line, v'kashal Shmuel, and therefore this is a question of Shmuel, because we see from here that you do follow the rove, that the purchaser at the time, since the majority are ganavim and kuvyustusin, he understood that and he was mekabel. So it's a raya against Shmuel. Says Rashbam, dekivin d'lo azul basaruba kepalga upalga dami. That since we don't follow the majority, so where does that leave you? It leaves it as a 50-50. V'imkein amai higio hare lo hayodeh alokeach shoybo mumzeh. If we would not follow the majority, then it would be a 50-50. And if it were a 50-50, the lokeach could say, I didn't want to buy a ganav, I didn't want to buy a kuvyustos, I was buying it al smach, that he wasn't a ganav or kuvyustos. Right? The lokeach could say, I didn't know that he was one of the 50% that have this mum. Ustam lokeach ha'evet shapira yahav zuzeh. Normally when I buy an eved, I'm putting good money into it because I want to buy a good eved. And whenever there's a mum, in the item that's being purchased and the lokeach was unaware of that mum, it's always going to be mevatel the mekach, it's always going to be a mekach tolus. But from the fact that we say that the lokeach is stuck with it over here, it must be that we follow the majority, and the majority are kovyustusin and ganavim. So says the Gemara, no, it's not a majority over here. The reason why we follow, the reason why we assume he's a ganavim kovyustus and the lokeach knew it, is not because it's a majority, but rather, love. It's not that most avadim are ganavim kuvyustusim, it's that all avadim are ganavim kuvyustusim. And since it's all, so then it's not an issue of holchim achar rov anymore. That's just what it is. When you buy an evad, you're buying a ganav. That's just what you're buying. Everyone knows it. They're all ganavim. So wait a second. All? Is that literally 100%? There was never an evad that wasn't a ganav or a kuvyustus. It's a little bit difficult to accept. So some of the Achronim explain that no, it doesn't mean all. It means that such a large majority, meaning there are different levels of majority. Sometimes it's not a 51% rov is not the same as a 99% rov. So what you have to say is it's some sort of super rov. It's an extra rov. What kind of rov? So the geder, the next geder up, usually when it comes to rov, besides for just a simple rov, is what we call where the miyut is a miyut sheinu matsui, right? Where the miyut is something that's so uncommon, and Mishkas Yaakov, famously in the Tshuva, defined miyut sheinu matsui as being less than 10%, right? So miyut sheinu matsui is anything under 10%. So with 95% of the avadim are ganavim kuvyustusim, so that would be enough to say that that's already like kulo. Even if you say ein holchin mamon achar rov, that's when it's a simple rov. But the Gemara is saying over here, if it's a super rov, where the miyut is a miyut sheinu matsui, so then everyone would agree that we are holich b'mamon achar rov. Miyut sheinu matsui comes up in halacha most frequently when it comes to whether you have to be choshesh with miyut. Do you even have to research the issue whether you have, let's say, the miyut of, there are dozens of trefos. See, there are dozens of trefos in an animal. Now, do we check every single type of trefa to see if the animal has that illness, that disease that made it a trefa? No, all we really check on a gasa is we check the lungs. And by a chicken, all they do is they keep the chicken open up, the insides open up, and it just passes by the people who know the Bekiyim and Hilchos Trefas, and they just look for any discoloration. They don't even check anything in particular. Right? Why is that? Shouldn't we have to check for every single trefa to make sure? So no, the answer is that we only check for a trefa that's going to be a mira matzui, for a trefa that's going to be a very commonly found trefa. So a hole in the lungs, that's a mira matzui. But all the other trefas are so uncommon that we don't have to check for them. But you know, if a company, a factory, shachtas, you know, deals with thousands of animals a year, it's got to be a couple that have those trefas in them. Yeah, there's got to be. Statistically, there has to be somewhere in there. But you don't have to check each individual animal when the chances are a miyut sheinu matzui. So Rav Shachter pointed out the same is true with checking for shatness. Right? The halacha that you have to check for shatness is only when you have a mira matzui that would be shatness. So if you go to Barney's and you buy a suit, so it's more than a mira matzui. It's probably a robe that have shatness. So then you're going to need to check for shatness. You go to the Sims Bash and you buy two suits for $200 or $300, three suits for $200. So then the chances that they actually used linen and wool in those suits are less than a miyut hamatzoi. They're very, 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 very slight chance. And me'ikar adin, it wouldn't need to be checked. You wouldn't need to check such a thing. So anyway, that's the that's generally the halacha by miyut hamatzoi. So yeah, that's what the Gemara is saying. Not kulu hachiyasnu in the literal sense that every single evid is a ganav. It can't be that every single one. It means it's such a tiny minority that it's ki'ilu, it doesn't exist. You have a similar idea by Bittul Barov when it comes to, Rav Shachter discussed once, why is water kosher l'Pesach? There's got to be some fisherman somewhere in the world that has bread in the water, you know, to lure the fish in. And Chametz Pesach, Zachser B'mashahu. So he says, no, even when you have something that's B'mashahu, there's something that's less than a Mashahu. There must be some number that's so minuscule that it's not even a Mashahu, which is even a bigger chiddush than a mashu, normally we would think is literally a mashu. Anyway, okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Tashma, third raya. Shar shenaga chesa parvinim subra b'tzido. Let's say you have an ox gores a cow, and you know that the cow was pregnant beforehand. You know that the ox has gored the cow. That's not in doubt. And you find the fetus next that the fetus that was inside the cow next to the cow. The only thing you don't know is veini yadua imat shelo nakhayalda or imishenakhayalda. You don't know if the cow gave birth before it was gored, or if the cow gave birth after it was gored, the mainaf gamina, because you pay chatzi nezek migufo, you're going to pay chatzi nezek of the cow itself. Now, do you count the uber as part of the cow or not? If the cow had already given birth, you do not count the uber, because that's not what it gored. It didn't gore the uber, it gored the cow. If you the cow had not yet given birth, then you do count the uber, because it was part of the cow. So what do? Mishalim chatzi nezek lepara, reveal of vlad. You pay chatzi nezek for the cow itself, and you pay, because that's what you chayev to pay, chatzi nezek for a short time that gores a cow, and reveal of vlad, and you pay a quarter nezek for the vlad. Where is there ever a din of reveal nezek? So no, there's no din of reveal nezek, there's a din of chatzi nezek. And there's a din that if the uber was not inside the mother at the time that the mother was gored, you pater miklum, you don't have to pay anything. So since we don't know if you have to pay chatzi or if you have to pay zero, so this is the rule of mamon amutal b'safik cholk in the sheet of Sumchus, who holds that whenever you have a suffix regarding money, mamon amutal b'safik cholk, and right, that's what Rashbam points out, revia nezek levad mishum the chatzi nezek the vlad, have you mamon amutal b'safik, the chatzi nezek of the vlad is mamon amutal b'safik the cholkin, and therefore you split it. Va'aliba the Sumchus mukmin alahasam, and this is assuming like Sumchus. So what are we asking over here? So frek the Gemara, va'amai le'mahalach acharov paro. Why don't we follow majority? Verov paros misabros viyoldos v'havadai machmas negicha hipila. Most of the time that a cow is pregnant, it gives birth to a healthy baby. It doesn't miscarry. And over here, you see a dead baby next to the cow, right? A dead calf next to the cow. So can't you assume that since the majority is that cows that are pregnant are going to give birth to a healthy baby, and this cow miscarried, so isn't that a raya that it was because of the negicha, that it was gored while it was pregnant, and that's why the baby came out dead, right? That's the raya. So who's it a raya against? So says Rashbam, l'rav kaparach, we're asking on Rav. V'amai chashav le'mamon amutul b'safek, alibet the Rav, dazal b'mona, basaruba. Why would you call this mamon amutul b'safek? Why would you consider this a safek? You have a majority. If you assume that you follow majorities, even by dinei mamonis, the majority of the time that a cow is going to miscarry is, the majority of the time that a cow is pregnant, it's going to give birth to a healthy baby. And therefore, if it miscarried, the majority tells you that it was for sure gored while the mother was still pregnant. Follow the majority that give birth to healthy babies and aren't mapil. And this para is also part of the rov. Paros the Alma, and it should have given birth to a healthy baby like all other paros. So you have to say that the cow was gored while it was still pregnant, and we told kachi pila, and that's why it miscarried. And the Baal Ashar should have to pay chatzi nezek levad, not revia nezek. So you see, this is a raya that we don't follow mamon. We don't follow rov when it comes to mamon. A raya to Shmuel against Rav. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasumishum de Mesafgalan. Over there it is a suffix. It's not a straight rove. Why? Dikal memra mikama asu mbiasusi hipila. It's possible that it wasn't the goring itself that killed the baby, but rather that since the ox came head on directly at the cow got frightened, and since it got scared, that's what caused it to be mapil, the baby. That's what caused it to miscarry. Now when it's true, it's the ox's fault that it miscarried. But that's not called direct nezek. When it was just scaring it, right? We already had Gemara. Gemara in Baba Kama says mavit bechaveiro. If a person scares his friend, right? Boo! You just scare someone, so you're pater midine adam. Even though you're a bad guy for doing that, you're not supposed to go around doing that. You're pater in bezin shel mata, so you're not going to be chayiv down here. So when an animal scares another animal and therefore causes damage through the scaring, it's going to be pater. So over here, you're right. Normally a cow gives birth to a healthy baby. And we know the fact that this cow did not give birth to a healthy baby is an indication that the ox must have done something to it. But the question is, what did the ox do to it? If the ox just scared it head on, and that's what killed the baby. And then the ox went ahead and gored the mother. And that's what killed the mother, right? So then for the baby, the ox is going to be pater. But if the ox came from behind, right, says the Gemara, Vikal Meir Me'achoras, or it could be the ox came from behind, the cow never saw it coming. Uminigach Nagcha V'Yipila, and then the baby also died as a result of the Negicha, then you'd have to pay half Nezek for the baby also. So that's the Safek. Have a Mamun Amutu B'Safek, V'Kal Mamun Amutu B'Safek Cholkin, and the rule is, whenever you have Mamun Amutu B'Safek, we split it. That's the assumption. Now says Tosos, Ikal Memri Mikama Asadimibia Susa Hipila, says Tosos, Usmoch Miuta de Mapilos, Lemiutimibia Susa Hipila. So since you have a minority of cows that do miscarry just them, and you have the minority of cows that are going to be, that when an ox gored it, the ox came from directly in front of it, and the cow miscarried from the fright of the oncoming ox. V'itra laruba, so the two minorities, the two miutim, team up together, and together they destroy the rov. The rov misarbos v'yeldos. V'amachmas negichi pilavav mechsal mechsa. That's what makes it a 50-50. Meaning, Tosus is not comfortable saying that it's mamish of 50-50, whether if you know that the cow miscarried as a result of this ox, because of what this ox did, Tosfos is not comfortable saying that it's a 50-50, whether it was the fright or the goring. It's way more than a 50-50 in favor of the goring. How often is it going to be, even if it does come head-on, that it miscarries before the animal hits it, that it miscarries before the ox hits it? Even that's only a miut. But Tos says the lumdus of the Gemara over here is not that it's a 50-50 suffix. Did it come from in front and scare it into miscarrying, or did it come from behind and gore it into miscarrying? The point is that there's a double miut. That you have a miut of cows that stam miscarrying, and it could have had nothing to do with this ox. And even if it did have something to do with this ox, you still have another miut that maybe it came from in front and it scared it into miscarrying. The combination of those two miutim team up together to overpower the rov. That's what Tosfos understands. So that is the rejection of raya number 3, whether we follow rov by dina mamnas. So says the Gemara, possibility number 4 to figure out who's right in this machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Says the Gemara, lema ketanai, maybe it's in fact a machlokas tanaim, whether we follow rov in terms of dini mamonis. Why? Where do we have machlokas tanaim? Shar shay rov nimsa shar harg betzido. You have a shar that was grazing, and there is a dead shar next to it. Afal pi shezem minugach v'zem muad ligach. Now the standing shar, the one that's still alive, we know is a muad. It always gores. The dead shar was killed by goring. There's the other shar standing with a big fat smile on his face, right next to the dead shar. Zemenushach v'zem muad lishach. We know, or that the standing shar always bites, and the dead shar has big teeth marks in it, so we know that it was bitten. Ein omrim biyadua shezem nachav v'zem nashcho. We don't say that we know for sure that the standing shar is the one that killed the dead shar. We don't say such a thing. Why? Says Rashbam, Ein omrim, derabbanan lo azli basar umdina. The Rabbanan do not follow an umdina. We don't follow assumptions. Va'afilu mamana multiple suffik lohavi. We don't even consider it a suffik l'shulmei palga, in the sense that you're going to follow sumchus and say that you pay half. Deman lema luncha zed nakcho. Who told you that this ox scored that ox? Ho v'ika shvarim acherim. There are other oxen in the world, and I'm sure there are other oxen that bite and other oxen that gore. So you don't know is this one, what, just because this one happens to be there? This is different than the previous case, where the shar we know gored the para, and we just don't know when it gored the para. Did it gore the para before the baby was born or after the baby was born? So therefore we don't know if the vlad was included in the negicha. And over there we're going to say, that's momentum multiple safek. There you pay for half of the chatzi nezek that you'd be chayev, you pay on the vlad. Why over there do we say that it's moment of mutl b'safek and not over here? Tahasam ha'inu time sharei roen shanog chesapar v'emet par al cheskasa. Because over there we knew for sure that it gored. We saw that it gored the cow. So in that case you can say, well, the cow is a chazaka that it doesn't just stop miscarry, and therefore it's going to be moment of mutl b'safek. V'hashtuhu di yolda v'shash anamotzin uvra b'tzida. We assume that it was a cheskas, rather pregnant, and therefore it gave birth right now. But over here, we don't even know what happened. We didn't see the actual maisa, and therefore, it's not even mamun umutul b'safek. We don't make umdinas even to create a safek. An umdina doesn't even create a safek. So good. So that's the shita of the Tanakama. It says Rabbi Acha. Rabbi Acha Omer. Rabbi Acha gives a different case, but from the case Rabbi Acha gives, you can see what he holds about the Tanakama's case. Because what does he say? Gamal ha'ocher ben ha'gamalim. If a camel is ocher, Rashbam says that ocher means osuk betashmish raviyah. it's doing tashmish, right? So the but the animals tend to go a little bit crazy when they do tashmish, and they're very wild, and they might hit things that are near it. V'nimtza gamal harug b'tzido, and therefore we find another dead camel right next to this camel that was doing tashmish. Rosh Hashanah has another day that maybe has nothing to do with tashmish, has to do with like braying or whatever you call it when a camel makes noise. So it has something to do with something else, but whatever it is, the camel is doing some sort of dangerous behavior, some sort of behavior that would be dangerous for any other camels that are around it, and then you find another dead camel right next to it. B'yadua sheze hargo. Says Rabbi Acha, you know that that camel killed the other one. We didn't see anything. Apparently Rabbi Acha holds, yeah, umdina, we could figure it out. Put two and two together and you figure out what really happened. So the Tanakam wasn't speaking about a case of a gamel. Tanakam was talking about a shor that was a muad to bite or a muad to gore. And Tanakam said, even in that case, we don't make any assumptions. Rabbi Acha says, forget a shor. Even if it's a gamel, and a gamel is a bigger chiddush than a shor, because he says, the Rashbam points out somewhere here that the gamel ha'ocher, he points out somewhere here that a gamel is less likely to be damaging than a shor is. And even by a gamel, he says, you're allowed to rely on the assumption, right? You can make the assumption that it's what killed it. So savrua de ruba v'chazaka ki adadi ninhu. So we're assuming rov and chazaka even each other out. And lema the Rav Amar Karviachu Shmuel Amar Ketan Kama. So Rav who says we do follow majority when it comes to Mamon will say like Rabbi Acha, that what do you have over here? You have a majority, you have a rove, and therefore we have the right to assume that it was this animal that killed it, exactly like Rabbi Acha. And Shmuel will say like the Tanakama. Shmuel will say no, ein holchin Mamon Acha rove, and that's why I don't care what kind of umdana you have. An umdana is after all a rove. An umdana means an assumption that it happened. That what gives you the right to assume anything happened. So that's what we call a ruba delesa kaman, right? An umdana is a ruba delesa kaman. It's a rove, a statistical rove. And generally, you should know that there are two types of rove. There's ruba de isa kaman, which is you can simply count what there is and you follow, and there's a majority. And then there's what we call a ruba delesa kaman, which is a statistical rove, right? That, for instance, rove nashim besulos nisos. Most women get married when they're besula. We had yesterday, right? So is that a ruba de isa kaman? We keep statistics of who got married when. No, it's just we know that most of the time when women get married, they get married as basulas. It's a statistical rove. It's not a rove that's right in front of us. Nine stores selling basar shchuta, one store selling basar nevela, that's a ruba de isa kaman. You can count. 10 stores, 9 of them are selling basar shchuta. An umdana is essentially a statistical rove. It's a ruba de lesa kaman. That's all it is. So since it's a statistical rove, so you see that you have a machlokas, whether you can follow a statistical rove when it comes to dinim amnus. Machlokas tanaim lines up perfectly with machlokas Rav and Shmuel. So says Gemara, no, it doesn't line up perfectly. Arm lecha Rav will tell you, I know the amri afilu tanakama. I can even agree with the tanakama in this case, who says that you're not going to follow the umdana. Because ad kan lo kamer tanakama asum el delazlin basa chazaka, aval basa ruba azlinan. The tanakama only says that you're not going to go Basar chazaka, basar the umdana, which is ruba de lesa kaman. But basar a rove, a real rove, he would go after. He would follow a real rove. Shmuel amulach, and Shmuel would say, I even go with Rabbi Acha. Ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Acha, asum el dazin basar chazaka. Rabbi Acha only follows an umdana, a chazaka, the hu gufei muchzak, because it's muchzak because you have the animal standing right next to it. That's a real umdana. Aval basar ruba lo azlinan, but a rove he would not follow. So says Rashbam, dehu gufei muchzak v'kiven dehu omid betzido azlinan basar umdina. That since it's standing next to it, so we would follow the umdina that it's muchzak to go and kill it. But aval basar ruba delese kaman lo azlinan. But a typical ruba delese kaman, he would not follow. So he basically says the Gemara makes the chiluk that there's a difference between an umdina and a rove, that the umdina is based on chazaka. And that's different than Rove. But why is it based on Chazaka? Because the Chazaka is that this shor is Mualigach. It's a Chazaka, that this animal is a goring animal. So therefore, it's about the Chazaka of the animal itself, and it's not about a Rove. And that's why the Machlokas does not at all relate to our machlokas. I just noticed the point that I made before about a gamal being different than a shor. Tosus actually makes the point. He says, "Had the nakat gamal, lo nakat shor, da iri beit anakama rabusa ashminan da filu gamal shetzanua b'tashmisho talinan beikivan shaboy b'shosha ocher." That Rabbi Achas chiddush by changing the case to a gamal is that a gamal is more tsanua in the way that it does tashmishamita, less wild, and therefore even less likely than a shor to actually hurt somebody or kill something while it's doing tashmish hamita. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. It tells us whatever a couple of other kashas from a different Gemara, but we'll leave that aside for now. Try to get done. Says the Gemara Vayter Tashma another raya number five to try to figure out whether we paskin like Rav that we follow Rav by Dina Mamonis or we don't follow Rav, or we paskin like Shmuel that we don't follow Rav by Dina Mamonis. Tashma Hamocha Peres Lechavero, person sells. So now where's the raya from? Our Mishnah, first Mishnah in this parak. That's why we have this whole discussion over here, right? Amocha peros chaver, a person sells peros to his friend v'zarin v'lotzamchu, and he plants them and they don't sprout. Nothing comes out of them. So v'afilu zara pishtan, even if it's pishtan, eino chayv b'achriyuson. It's not the mocher's responsibility to reimburse the lokeach. Maya filu. What does it mean, afilu, even if it was pishtan? What does that mean? Lav afilu zara pishtan deruba lizria zavni. Isn't the afilu pishtan, isn't that coming to tell me that even though most of the time when you sell pishtan, it's meant to be planted? Meaning when I'm selling it to you because most people who buy it use it to be planted and not to eat it, not to use it. V'afilu hachilaz in basaruba. And we still don't follow the rov. Because if you follow the rov, the lokeach could say, what do you think I was buying it for? Rove of the time people buy pishtan to plant. Of course I was buying it to plant. You can't sell me pishtan that I can't plant. If you follow a rov, the lokeach has a really good taina. So you see that you don't follow the rov. We see that we don't follow the rov. So says the Gemara, tanaihi. Now the truth is, you're right. Our Mishnah is a good raya that you don't follow rov. But that's not necessarily a raya that Shmuel is correct. Because after all, not everyone agrees with our Mishnah. It's a machlokas tanaim whether we follow rov by dinim amnus or we don't follow rov by dinim amnus. Now, Rashbam points out that the reason that we mentioned the previous raya, raya number four, before raya number five, where lema ketanai, is because we're going to say tanai he in raya number five. So we want to first suggest a different machlokas tanaim, reject that, and then we bring in this machlokas tanaim, and that's what we're going to stick with. Tanai he ditanya mocher peros lechaver v'zarn v'lo tzamchu. A person sells peros to his friend and he plants them and nothing grows. Zeroni gina sheinei chalin chayv bachriyusan. So if it's the type of plants that can't be used to be eaten, I sold you fruit that you can't eat. It's only used for seeds. It can't be used for anything else. And then when you planted it, nothing came of it. So of course I'm going to be chayv to reimburse you. You bought it, obviously, when there's nothing else you could do with it. Obviously, you bought it to plant. I sold you a lemon. But zera pishtan, eino chayv b'achriyusan. But if I sold you pishtan, which is only a majority of the time use it to plant. Sometimes people will use it to use right away. So then I am not going to be chayv, the mocher is not going to be chayv to reimburse him. Meaning, we don't follow the rov. Rabbi Yossi says, nosin lo demei zera. You do have to reimburse him. You have to reimburse him for the zera because most of the pishtun is used to be planted, and therefore you sold him a lemon. You chayiv to reimburse him because you should have assumed like the majority. Amrulo comes along and says, "Harbi lo chnosa l'dvar macherim." There are lots of people who buy pishtun for other things. Meaning, granted, most of the pishtun that is bought for zriya, but most of the people who buy pishtun buy it for other things. Meaning most of the people who buy pishtun buy very tiny quantities and they buy it to use it right away. Most of the pishtun that's sold, because those who buy it for Zriya buy massive amounts of it, so most of the pishtun that's sold is sold for Zriya. But what's the real rov over here, says the Amrulo? Is the real rov that it's rov l'Zriya? No, the real rov is most of the people that buy it to use it, to eat it right away. So therefore, that's the real rov. So even if you do go bus a rov, you don't have a rov over here. So says the Gemara, man tanai. So where do you see machlokas tanai and whether we follow rov by mammon or not? You had three shitos in this brisa. So ilei Rabbi Yossi v'amrulo. If you want to say that Rabbi Yossi and Amrulo argue, no, travai basarubazli. Both Rabbi Yossi and the Amrulo say that you follow the rov. It's just a question of what the rov is. Rabbi Yossi says the rov is most of the pishtun is sold for planting, and the Amrulo says, I don't care what most of the pishtun is sold for, I care what most of the people are buying it for, and most of the people buy it for using right away. So they both follow rov.
Marazal Basar Ruba Dinchi, Marazal Basar Ruba Zriya. One goes Basar the Rove of people, one goes Basar Rove of Zriya. Eli Itanakama of Rabbi Yossi, Itanakama of Amrullah. So either you have to say the Machlokas is the Tanakama versus Rabbi Yossi, because the Tanakama is the one that says that we don't follow Rove, or the Tanakama and the Amrullah. Right? Both Rabbi Yossi and the Amrullah say we do follow the Rove. Tanakam is one that says we don't, period. So that's how we conclude that it is, in fact, Machlok Tanan. Tan Rabban and Mahu Nosinlo. So now you have to, the Mocher has to reimburse the guy who he sold seeds to that weren't able to do anything, weren't able to grow anything. What do I have to reimburse him for? What do I pay him for? Just the value of the seeds? The Mezer of Lotza says, Gemara, yeah, just the value of the seeds, not the expense incurred in planting them. V'yesham afotza. And some say, no, even the expense incurred in planting them. Says Rashbam, why? Knasahu, it's a knas that we make you pay for the expense incurred. Says the Rashba, no, it's not a knas, it's dina de garmi. This is considered somewhat direct damage. There are three types of damage. There's damage that's mamish, damage directly. I go over to you and I hit you with a baseball bat. That's direct damage. There's damage where it's totally indirect. That's grama. And then somewhere in the middle is garmi. And garmi is a machlokas tanayim, whether da in dina de garmi or lo da in dina de garmi. We had a major tosos, chav beis amin beis. If you look back there, tosos at the bottom of the chav beis amin beis discusses at length how we define exactly the difference between grama and garmi. What he essentially does is he takes all the cases in Shas that the Gemara defines as grama, all the cases in Shas the Gemara defines as garmi, and tries to figure out, okay, what do the grama cases have in common, what do the garmi cases have in common? And he has three shitos, three approaches to dealing with that issue. None of them really work fully. That's why you need three of them. So says the Gemara, man yeshom, who is this yeshom that says you even have to pay for the expenses? Now, if it's about garmi, we should have just said, what do you mean? Reb Meir, who says da'im din de garmi. Apparently, it's not so posh. Let's assume like the Rashbam for now. So Rashbam says it's about a knas. Who's the one that says that we are kones the guy like this? So Reb Chis Reb Shimon Gamliel here. Reb Chis says Reb Shimon Gamliel. Hey Reb Shimon Gamliel, where do you have a Reb Shimon Gamliel that holds like that? Elim Reb Shimon Gamliel de Masnisin. If you want to say it's our Reb Shimon Gamliel of our Mishnah, the town of Machar Peres Lachaveru Vizan Velot Samchu, that if you sell pears to your friend and they don't produce anything, Vafilu Zera Pishtan Enu Chayv Bachri Yusan, and even if you sell Zera Pishtan, you're not chayv to reimburse him. Ema Seifa, then the Seifa says Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Zeron. If you sold him garden seeds that can only be used for planting, you do have to reimburse him. Well, Tanakama agrees that if you sold him something that can only be used for planting, you have to reimburse him. So what's Rav Shmuel arguing about? Tanakama also holds something that can only be used for planting, you do have to reimburse him. El Lav, what are they arguing about? It must be it must be that they're not arguing about whether he needs to be reimbursed, but how much he has to be reimbursed. You only reimburse him for the value of the seeds, or do you also reimburse him for the expenses? Me might. So says Gemara, nah, I'm not so convinced that it's that Rav Shmuel Gamliel, because Dilma Ibcha, maybe they hold the other way. Maybe Rav Shmuel Gamliel is one that says that you don't pay for the Hotza'ah. So hello, Kasha. Kol Tana Basu Tfuy Milsagos. He says, no. If they're arguing about Hotza'ah, then Rav Shimon Gamliel is for sure the one that says you do pay for the Hotza'ah. Why? Because there's a rule. The later Tana always adds to what the previous Tana said. So if they're arguing about whether you only pay for the value of the Zera or you also pay for the Hotza'ah, it must be the Tana Kama says only the Zera. Rav Shimon Gamliel comes and says you also pay for the Hotza'ah. So says the Gemara, but still, our mission is not a Raya, because Vidum Lakulur Rav Shimon Gamliel, Livichsur Mechsra Vachik Tani. Maybe our entire mission really reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it reads as follows. Hamocha Peres Chaveir Vizan Velot Samcha Afil Zera Pishrein Chai Bach Riusan. You sell bad Zera to your friend, and it doesn't do anything, so you don't have to pay him back because you can assume that he wanted to eat it. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel Shita. Sher Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Zeronigina Shein Nechal Chayv Bachriyusan. You're only Chayv Bachriyus for things that are only used for planting. So that's not the Rav Shimon Gamliel who says you reimburse the Otsa. Ella Har Rav Shimon Gamliel. It must be the following Rav Shimon Gamliel. Detanya Hamolichitin Litchon Velo Lesasan Vasan Subanomorsan. You bring your wheat to a grinder to grind it up, make you good flour. And he does a bad job. He doesn't soak the wheat and he makes very bad flour. You bring your flour to the baker to make your bread and he makes you bad bread. You bring your animal to a shochet and he makes it an avela. He's chayv to reimburse you because he has a din of a shomer sachar. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, nosno d'mei boshus orchav, that he pays for your embarrassment also, even a side expense, like the embarrassment you suffered because you weren't able to provide your guests with meat on Shabbos because this guy made your animal into an nevela. He not only has to reimburse you for the animal, but even the embarrassment you suffer. This was a great minhag they had in Yerushalayim. That if you give a su'uda to your friend, you hire a caterer, and he destroys the food. So what? The caterer is going to say, okay, I'll pay you back for the food. You gave me $20,000 to do the affair. I'll give you back $20,000. No, no. He's got to pay you a lot more, Rav Shmuel Gamliel says. He has to pay you for destroying, for all the embarrassment you suffer. Od minhag gadol hayu b'Yerushalayim, ma'aprus al gavi ha-pesach. They have another minhag, just as an aside. If they had a sheet hanging over the doorway, calls man shema'aprusa orchin nechnasin. As long as the sheet was hanging there, guests can come in. Nistalka mapa in orchin nechnasin. When the mapa was not there, guests would not come in. It was a simon for when guests should show up and not. But that's the sheet of Rav Shmuel Gamliel that says that you not only pay directly for what you damaged, but also for some side damages that came as a result as well. Okay, we'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow. Thank you.